And this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. The report cards are in, and some Northern Kentucky school districts did extremely well, and others continue to rank among the worst in the state. And to talk about the results that were released just last week, we're joined by Walton Verona Independent Schools Superintendent Dr. Matt Baker. His three schools all earned 5 stars, the highest rating available in the new system. Welcome, Dr. Baker.
Thank you very much, Michael. And our high school earned 5 stars.
Oh, the other ones did not.
Our middle school and our elementary school both earned 3 stars.
My apologies for that right off the bat. All right. 5 stars for the high school, and then the middle school and the elementary school were 3 stars. And
yes.
We still welcome you just the same, Dr. Baker,
Thank
for being
you,
sir. Here to talk about that, because those types of discrepancy are exactly the topic that we're going for today. My apologies for the error in my script. Moving on, we've got Fort Thomas Independent School Superintendent Dr. Karen Chesser. She's on the phone. Her district also scored highly. Multiple schools earned 5 stars. Dr. Chesser, thanks for being here.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
I hope I got all that correct, because I know how you educators like to correct me right off the bat. So,
we're proud of our schools, and we just want to make sure that our schools get due credit. So,
all right. We'll have plenty of questions about that coming up, Dr. Chesser. Thanks for being here as well. And in the studio is the principal of Glen O. Swing Elementary, Sherry Lindberg. Her school is one of the top performing elementaries in all of Kentucky and a bright spot for the Covington Independent Public School System. Sherry, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
And from the Pritchard Committee for Academic Excellence, a Lexington-based advocacy organization, we have Executive Director Bridget Blom-Ramsey. Thanks for being here, Bridget.
Good morning.
And you can join our conversation at 513-419-7100. You can email talk@wvxu.org or find us on Facebook or Twitter. We'll look for your comments and your tweets and try to get some of those into the show as well. Dr. Baker, I'd like to talk to you because, as you noted, your high school got 5 stars. The elementary and the middle school did not. I'm assuming that there's not some difference in the standards at which you hold your students across those grade levels. So just talk a little bit about how this all works out when the state releases this new system, this new analysis, and you have varied results.
Let me say, first of all, that these results are simply the byproduct of meeting the needs of every individual student every day. And that is our focus. We do not set goals to be 4 or 5-star schools. Our goal is simply to meet the needs of our students in any given day. I am more concerned with things like parent satisfaction, community engagement, than I am for any particular star rating. Now, having said that, we're very, very proud of our results. That is a point of pride for our students, our staff, and our community. But our focus is on meeting the needs of every student every day.
But these stars are important, because it is the way that the state
sure.
is looking at the results that you're turning out. And so mm-hmm. we do hear from superintendents often that maybe they missed the mark on where they hope to have achieved based mm-hmm. on a system that they may not agree with.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, ultimately these things do matter, do they not?
They do definitely matter. And let me also say that this is my 23rd year in education. And throughout my career, these different accountability systems change every 5 or 6 years, give or take. But again, our focus has to be on educating kids, and certainly we use these results to affirm what we're doing correctly in meeting the needs of our kids, and we also use them to look for areas where we can improve, where we can do a little better in meeting the needs of those individual students every given day.
And Dr. Chesser from Fort Thomas on the phone with us. Your district is one of the high-performing districts across Kentucky consistently every year, regardless of which system is being used. I did hear from you shortly after the results came out, because Highlands High School, again, one of the top scoring schools in all the state, typically one of the top scoring in the ACT, it got 4 stars instead of 5 stars. But there was a technicality that you described on why that is. Why don't you tell our listeners how this system, this new system, impacted that school score?
Sure, absolutely. So based on proficiency and growth and all of the other measures, transition readiness, actually Highlands High School earned 5 stars, one of just a few, you know, in the state. However, we are a pretty large school district. People don't realize that. One of the largest independents and much larger than many of the county districts, fourth largest in Northern Kentucky. And we have enough students in different subgroups. And one of those groups of students are students with disabilities. Their overall score was not near the overall score of the entire school. So there was considered a gap in scores because our overall scores were so high. And so because of that gap, we were reduced one star. So we have four stars. We do understand and know that we've got to do a better job of making sure that all of our students with disabilities, that we are helping meet their needs and getting them to the same levels as students without disabilities. However, we did want to make sure that our community understands that overall our proficiency was at a very high level.
Well, Dr. Chester, just talk about how this new system worked for you, because, you know, we hear a lot about teaching to the test and how parents and teachers and educators don't want to do that. But the test, whatever the state test may be in any given year, is what people are talking about. There are other factors that weigh on the score that school districts get. But this is the first time this particular five-star system was used. And as the leader of one of the state's top performing school districts, I'm wondering of what your general reaction is to its efficiency and the way that it describes your district.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, we were, of course, very happy that we scored highly, especially since we're trying not to be focused so much on the test. We created this new portrait of a graduate, which focuses on those kinds of skills that are needed in the workplace that are beyond a test. And so this was kind of a litmus test for that. I mean, could we still do that and continue to do well on traditional measures? And we showed that we could. I will say that it's because of our absolutely fantastic teachers. We choose the best of the best. Our students, the high expectations that our families place on them, the way that we support our students overall from kindergarten all the way up, I think that's what leads to our students doing very well. There is what this is made up of on these tests are traditional measures, but we also have measures such as are our students meeting benchmark on the ACT? Are our students actually earning industry certification? What's the growth of students? So there are a multitude of measures in there and some that we know we have to do a better job on.
The Covington Independent School System has one high school, one middle school, and six elementary schools, all rated in this state system. I want to read the results for our listeners to get an idea of the significance of one of the school's scores. Holmes High School was rated one star. Holmes Middle School was rated one star. 6th District Elementary, 3 stars. 9th District Elementary, 1 star. Latonia Elementary, 3 stars. And John G. Carlisle Elementary, 3 stars. But Glen Swing Elementary, also part of the Covington school system, was rated 5 stars. And Principal Sherry Lindberg is also here in the studio with us. Sherry, this is the 5th year in a row that Glen Swing has outperformed its district and rated among the top performing elementary schools across Kentucky. What's happening there?
We focus on every kid every day, just as Superintendent Baker was speaking of. We drill down, we look at individual students, we figure out their needs, we provide wraparound services. If it's mental health needs, we have a student support team. We look at the whole child and we address the needs. And then, you know, we're very standards driven. It's not about teaching to the test, it's about teaching to the standards.
So is that different than the other schools in the district?
I can't speak to other schools in the district. I'm only at Glen Swing. I believe in the potential of our district, the potential of our students and teachers, but I can only speak to what happens at Glen Swing.
And we should note that your predecessor as principal at Glen Swing Elementary, Scott Alter, is now the assistant superintendent of the school. This started under his watch. You've carried it on. He's now the assistant superintendent. Is the goal to take what's happening at Glen Swing and to spread that knowledge around to the other schools?
I think there's some of that. Mr. Alter is taking some of the things that we've used at Glen Swing, our focus on standards, a solid curriculum, and he's trying to work that into all of the schools in the district. But he would need to speak to the ultimate plan and the rollout.
The demographic makeup of Glen Swing Elementary is not different from a lot of the other schools in the district. You have a lot of the schools, almost all of the students who are qualifying for a free reduced lunch. They come from similar neighborhoods within the city. talk about the culture inside the school. I know you've mentioned some of the wraparound services and servicing the whole child, but talk about the culture within the district as it relates to behavior and as keeping students on task with what you're trying to teach.
Again, I can only speak to my
school. That's what I mean.
Okay. Within our school, we do high expectations for everybody, teachers, students, myself, and we provide the students the supports they need. We look at behavior issues from the standpoint of trauma and what that student needs in order to be successful during the school day. Is it counseling? We have a school counselor. We have a North Key counselor that's in our building every day. We have a school psychologist. Is it basic needs? We have a family resource center coordinator who helps families meet basic needs. Is it homelessness? We have a district homeless coordinator that tries to help our kids stay within the school so that they're not being moved around while their families are in transition. So we try to look at that standpoint to address our behaviors. We look at academics from where are they at now, how do we meet them where they are and take them to the next level. So when teachers give an assessment or do an assignment, we come together as a whole team and every teacher puts their work out on the table and we look at it and we figure out the kids who aren't meeting benchmark, who aren't meeting standard, and we come up with a plan for them. What does this one kid need in this one moment? And we work from there. So it's about looking at the individual students, figuring out what they need in that moment and trying to provide it for them.
Bridget Blom-Ramsey is the executive director of the Pritchard Committee for Academic Excellence. That's in Lexington. Bridget, first for our listeners, tell us a little bit about quickly what the Pritchard Committee is so that people get a general understanding of what it is your organization does.
Sure. Thanks, Michael. The Pritchard Committee for Academic Excellence has been around for nearly 40 years. We're a statewide organization, citizen-led and wholly independent, with a singular mission, and that is to improve the quality of education in Kentucky, early childhood through post-secondary.
Okay, so what was your organization's reaction to the results that were released last week?
Well, we were, of course, excited to see the five-star schools and expected that we would see a lot of three-star schools, which is a good thing. The accountability model, we believe, is rigorous in its approach to kind of pushing the state to improve outcomes for all students and to close achievement gaps, which is a critically important, I think, priority of the accountability model. Overall, when we look at the results, what we see is, as a state, we're really not improving outcomes for students across the board. And we've seen that for a number of years. For the most part, over the last decade, Kentucky's hit a plateau. And in the last few years, we've started to see declines for student outcomes. Now, that's not to discount the bright spots that you hear about at Glen O. Swing and the fabulous work that you hear about at Fort Thomas Independent, particularly with the portrait of a graduate, the work going on at Walton Verona and some others. But if you just look at Kentucky across the board, on average, relative to other states, we've hit a plateau and we're beginning to lose ground.
And Bridget, why do you think that is?
There are a number of reasons that we've cited in the last year or so. One, Superintendent Baker mentioned, and that is kind of a lot of kind of adjusting and altering of our accountability system and our approach from a systemic standpoint when it comes to education. So we see over the last decade a lot of what we term policy churn. And that requires our districts then to respond to that policy churn, adjust what they're doing at the local level, and maybe take their eye off the ball when it comes to responding to the unique needs of students, because they're responding to systemic change. So we've asked legislators to let's hold the system steady and allow our educators across the state to really deepen their practice and identify ways in which they can and should innovate to reach students better.
All right, Bridget, let me ask you this question before I share the same question with our superintendent guests and principal guests as well. What role is family life playing in the achievement of students? Because a lot of times when we're looking at this data, you will see more affluent districts doing really well and low-income districts not achieving quite as well.
That's a great question, Michael, and we've really been digging into that. So while Kentucky has made great progress over the last roughly a generation, quarter century in education, we've climbed from the bottom of the national rankings to roughly the middle nationally. But at the same time, Kentucky is still fifth from the bottom of the nation in poverty. So we have to embrace and understand that poverty is an issue for our state, and it's going to increasingly become an issue when we push on greater and greater student outcomes. So the consensus of research to date shows that a good school impacts about 20 to 33% of a student's outcomes. The balance, 64 roughly percent, is outside of school outcomes. So we have to start to recognize those family pieces, not to make poverty an excuse, but to understand how as a community we respond to the unique needs of students. And Glen Oswing and Sherry's work is a great example of how they're doing that.
Dr. Matt Baker is the superintendent of Walton Verona Schools, where the high school scored 5 stars and the middle school and elementary school scored 3 stars apiece. Walton, Kentucky, in southern Boone County, is an affluent community. So do you feel that you have any advantage to that, that these kids who are coming into your schools have a more stable home life than compared to the ones who may be going to some of Northern Kentucky's more struggling urban school districts?
Well, Mike, I would add that our district is changing. Approximately 20 years ago, my school district had fewer than 1,000 students, and we were approximately 5% free and reduced lunch. Today, we're at a little over 1,800 students and about 40% free and reduced lunch. So our dynamics are changing, and that has been a challenge. But I would say, overall, the expectations that parents have for their children align very closely to the expectations we have for those children in our schools. And when there's a disconnect there with those expectations or the type of support students or children are given in the home, that can present challenges. And that's where the schools and school districts need to provide those wraparound services to support those children after school hours, during the summer, and to be sure that there are safety nets in place to provide children the services they need.
We'll talk a little bit about what's impacting that demographic shift. Your enrollment has increased nearly 100%, it sounds like, from under 1,000 to 1,800 roughly, and you're also seeing a higher percentage of students in need. What's causing that?
Well, the major issue is we are geographically large for an independent district. We're about 25 and a half square miles, which I believe is the largest independent district in the state. So we have a lot of vacant land. We have room to grow. You're not going to find a lot of vacant land in Fort Thomas or Fort Mitchell, but you are in Walton Verona. So we have room to grow. And that, as you know, that growth is coming right down the expressway corridor. So we're experiencing some of those growing, I won't use the word pains, but challenges with the changing demographics and the growth.
Well, I'm wondering then, because it seems that a lot of that growth is, you know, the home builders around here are putting up subdivisions or some of that sort of thing. So you wouldn't anticipate that families who are constructing new homes would be requiring support to feed the kids when they go to school. So I'm wondering if you have any additional details on what may be adding to that.
Well, we are seeing different types of housing emerge in our school district that sometimes low-income families will take advantage of. And that is leading to our changing demographics.
Dr. Karen Chesser is on the phone with us. She is the superintendent of Fort Thomas Independent Schools. Multiple schools in that district scored the full 5 stars. And I want to ask you the same question, because Fort Thomas, again, is one of the most affluent communities in all of Kentucky, certainly in northern Kentucky. Do you see that you as a district have an advantage based on the home lives that your students have compared to your neighbors in Newport, Southgate, Bellevue, Dayton?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I've taught in Covington, you know, worked in with the principal of a high poverty school in Campbell County, and worked in Boone County. So there are definite differences. I will say, in Fort Thomas, we do have quite a bit of rental housing as well, and we do have families that struggle. I think, though, that many people come to Fort Thomas because they value education. And that's one thing that, you know, moves across socioeconomic lines is I feel like every family wants the best for their child. Just sometimes they're not quite sure how to do that or how to get help. And so definitely when families are more advantaged, then they can take advantage of more things, such as in the summer and enrichment and tutoring. And so that's why we as a school district are trying to provide those same elements to all families so that all families have access to that. We also are doing some things, like we're working with our Campbell County Library, and we started the Dolly Parton Imagination Library, so every single child from the time they're born gets books. We're doing events so that families can come with their children and, you know, do some reading activities. So I think it means that the community, you know, has to continue to step up to make sure that every student has those, you know, enrichment activities, has those opportunities. And just like Bridget said, 65% of the impact on a student score or their outcome may come from outside the district, but it is our responsibility inside school districts to help try to make up for that and to provide those opportunities. And I will say, too, one of the things that we feel strongly about, and I think all of us in Northern Kentucky feel strongly about, is to stop the cycle of poverty and to make sure that all of our students who are leaving us are on track for a plan to make more than at least a living wage. And whatever post-secondary that is, four-year college, two-year college, credential, certificate, so that the poverty that we do have continues to diminish.
Our conversation about the state of education in Kentucky and the results of the new STAR rating system continues. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition On Demand. Did you know you can have the show delivered straight to your smartphone every day? Just go to your favorite podcast listening app, search Cincinnati Edition, and subscribe. You'll be able to keep up with all our great conversations with newsmakers, public officials, and other interesting people from the greater Cincinnati region and beyond on the go, anytime, anywhere. It's great for those days you can't tune in to catch us live. Weekdays at noon on 91.7 WVXU. And this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. We continue now with our talk about the new Kentucky school assessment, the results of which were released last week, showing a mixed bag across Northern Kentucky. We're joined by Walton Verona Superintendent Dr. Matt Baker. Hello, Dr. Baker.
Hello, Michael.
We have on the phone Fort Thomas Superintendent Dr. Karen Chesser. Hello, Karen. Dr. Chesser.
Hello.
And we have Glen Oswing Elementary Principal Sherry Lindberg with us. That's part of the Covington Independent School District. Sherry, thanks for being here.
Good afternoon. Thank you.
And we're also joined by the Pritchard Committee for Academic Excellence Executive Director Bridget Blom Ramsey. Hello, Bridget.
Good afternoon.
I had on the show earlier this year, back in the spring, the superintendents of Covington and Newport schools, Alvin Garrison of Covington and Kelly Middleton of Newport. We talked a little bit about the challenges that they face as urban and economically disadvantaged school districts. Let's hear a little bit about from what they said. Oh, maybe we've got a file problem with it. Okay, it sounds like we may have an error there with the actual file, but the gist of what both Alvin Garrison of Covington was saying and what Kelly Middleton of Newport was saying was their students do face different challenges than other suburban, more affluent districts. And I'm wondering, Bridget, you're here representing the Pritchard Committee for Academic Excellence, what your organization might know about just the general funding situation that some of these schools face. Because in addition to providing an education, a lot of the times the districts are charged with performing the functions of a social services agency, making sure they're eating more than lunch, making sure they're having breakfast and that there's something to take home to eat. But their funding comes from either the state and or the local property tax that the school board can assess. So how is the funding affecting the abilities of those school districts to change the lives of kids who are economically disadvantaged?
Well, funding is certainly an issue, and particularly in areas that you're referencing, Michael, where students have additional needs. I mean, those require additional services. And so we need to understand that, and we need to provide the investment necessary to provide those services. Now, as you referenced, they could be social services. It could be investment in mental health, which as a state we sorely underinvest in. But the core funding for our districts has also been flat. So from the state level, while there have been like incremental increases kind of around the edges, the core funding has been roughly flat, has not increased based on inflation, and some line items in the budget have been zeroed out, professional development for teachers and some extended school services, things like that, that are really important for those additional wraparound supports. And then you mentioned the money coming locally. What we see as a state is that the gap between districts with low property wealth and districts with high property wealth is increasing to the point that it's approaching the gap that existed before the Kentucky Education Reform Act of 1990. And you might recall in 1989, there was a court case that found the funding for education in Kentucky unconstitutional. And that resulted in the funding formula that we have today. So we do need to be aware that we're underfunding. We're underinvesting in the solution for our state when it comes to moving the needle on poverty and preparing the next generation to really take a lead from a quality of life and economic development standpoint. We're also underinvesting in early childhood childhood as the precursor to strong academic outcomes in K-12. And we're severely underinvesting in post-secondary education, which is going to put our young people on a path to success. So across the board, Kentucky needs to reinvest in education and quickly.
Sherry Lindberg is the principal of Glen Oak Swing Elementary, part of the Covington school system, and one of the top achieving elementary schools in Kentucky, rated 5 stars in the recent results of the state assessment. And certainly, as we referenced before, your student population is economically disadvantaged. How are those students able to overcome that and learn?
The wraparound services that I spoke of.
Explain to us what that means exactly. I probably should have done that the first time that term was used, just to make sure that we all understand it.
We're not just looking at their academic needs. When a student comes in, we have to look at all of their needs, mental health, basic needs, medical needs. Sometimes we have to help the family get medical care, eye exams. So we look at that from our standpoint. And school's not just from 8 to 3. We provide after-school services 2 hours a night through a 21st Century Learning Grant. So our students can be there till 6 o'clock, get fed dinner, get an extra hour of learning, get the enrichment that's not often available to our students or wouldn't be available without us because their parents often don't have the means to take them to private lessons and such. So we provide a lot of that there. And that helps break down the barriers for our kids.
We have just a couple of minutes left. And I know that a lot of times in Northern Kentucky specifically, the word consolidation is talked about as it relates to some of the lower achieving districts, particularly the River City schools, Covington, Newport, Bellevue, and Dayton. Dr. Baker, you're the superintendent of Walton Verona schools, way out in the suburbs, of course. But when you look at a map of the school districts in Kentucky and the little dots that would represent them all, there's a lot of dots in Northern Kentucky. And I'm just wondering if you think that maybe there are too many school districts in Northern Kentucky and whether reducing them would possibly increase overall achievement.
Well, Michael, let me say that whether or not there are too many dots and whether or not there should be consolidations or mergers, my belief is that that should be a local decision. That should not be a decision that is made in Frankfort or some other center of government. Those should be local decisions. Increasingly, our schools are funded by local taxpayers through property taxes as state revenues or state funding has declined. So that should be a local decision and not something that is legislated from Frankfort.
And Dr. Chesser, you're the superintendent of Fort Thomas Schools. I've got about 30 seconds left, and I'm wondering if students who attend your neighboring schools and aren't achieving as high would benefit from being merged into a system that has the record that yours does.
Well, I mean, I think we can all share resources and ideas without having to actually merge school districts. I'll say, same as Dr. Baker, that should be a local decision. Those communities, those cities, they want control over their schools. We in Fort Thomas now pay 39%, we have almost 70% of the funds for our schools comes directly from our local taxpayers, not from the state. And so I think they feel like they should have the benefit. But that doesn't mean we can't share strategies, we can't share ideas, and we do that all the time. Our teachers have training together, we share resources, and we do need to continue to do that so that all students can achieve.
That was Dr. Karen Chesser, the superintendent of Fort Thomas Independent Schools. Dr. Matt Baker is the superintendent of Walton Verona Schools. We also had with us Glen Oak Swing Elementary principal Sherry Lindberg from the Covington School District and from the Pritchard Committee for Academic Excellence, Executive Director Bridget Blom Ramsey. Thanks to all four of you for joining us today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer for today's show is Elise Meckler. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. You can find archives of our program online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks.